translation. The 13th branch was Vaninath Brahmachari, and the 14th was Vallabha Chaitanya Das. Both of these great personalities were filled with love of Krishna. Purport. Sri Vaninath Brahmachari is described in the 10th chapter, verse 114 of the Adi Lila. A disciple of Vallabha Chaitanya named Nalini Mohan Goswami established a temple of Madan Gopal in Navadvip. Text 84. Srinath Chakravarti Ara Udava Das, Jitamrita Kastakata Jagannatha Das. The 15th branch was Srinath Chakravarti, the 16th Udava, the 17th Jitamitra, and the 18th Jagannath Das. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, the Saka Nirnaya, verse 13, mentions Srinath Chakravarti as a reservoir of all good qualities and an expert in the service of Lord Krishna. Similarly, verse 35 mentions Uddhava Das as being greatly qualified in distributing love of Godhead to everyone. The Gaura Ganodesha Deepika, 202, mentions Jitamrita as the gopi named Shama Manjari. Jitamitra wrote a book entitled Krishna Mayuriya. Jagannath Das was a resident of Vikramapura near Dhaka. His birthplace was the village known as Kastakata or Katadia. His descendants now reside in villages known as Adiyala, Kamarapada, and Paikapada. He established a temple of Yashomadava. The worshippers in this temple are the Goswamis of Adiyala. As one of the 64 Sakis, he was formerly an assistant of Chitra Devi Gopi named Tilakini. The following is a list of his descendants: Raman Shingha, Ram Gopal, Ramachandra, Sanatan Muktaram, Gopinath, Goloka, Hari Mohan Shiromani, Rakala Raja, Madhava, and Lakshmikanta. The Saka Ninaya mentions that Jagannath Das preached the Hare Krishna movement in the district or state of Tripura. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Jasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swabhanantikam Vandeham Shri Gurum Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshware Vishabhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Piye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangam Langayate Girim Yad Kripa Tamam Vande Shri Gurum Dinatayanam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. Shri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 12, text 83 to 84. Hare Krishna. The chapter is called Expansions of Advaita Charya and Gadada Pandit. And it continues to list different devotees who are like branches in the line of Advaitacharya and Gadadhara Pandit. In chapters prior to this one that we're dealing with, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami makes a figurative example to illustrate Lord Chaitanya's preaching mission across the planet. He likens Lord Chaitanya to be the tree and the trunk, and this tree has its branches covering the entire planet. And so the different branches are the different followers of Lord Chaitanya, associates. And in that way, they are all assisting the main tree, whose aim is to distribute the fruit of love of Godhead across the entire planet. And now we are hearing of other devotees who are part of those branches that are distributing this love of Krishna across the planet. So because it's a list of great souls that personally I could not find any information further about them. Although in the purport of 84, we are hearing about their places of residence, different villages. So my thoughts was to discuss how Lord Chaitanya was a strategist who wanted to preach or share love of Godhead to everyone across the planet. He himself, as a young person, was a scholar, Nimai Pandit, and very learned and also somewhat transcendentally arrogant and puffed up in his learning. And he had a school and had very dedicated students in that school. And there was nothing he could not explain. Such was his intelligence, as broad as the sky. And the people of Navadvip, the devotees, were always wondering, when will Nimai become a devotee? Because they could see such a bright intellect. If he became a devotee, he's so scholarly, is very good at presenting philosophy. If he became a devotee, then he would become the greatest devotee. And with that scholarship, with that intellect, he could convince many, many persons to the side of Krishna Bhakti. Anyway, he made it his pastime to kind of torment them. It came to pass, though, that he, after his father passed away, he had to go to Gaya to perform the funeral rites for his father. And there he met his spiritual master, Sri Ishwara Puri. And from him, he took initiation. And from that time on, he became the most ecstatic devotee. He was completely mad, transcendentally. So it is safe to say that we are followers of a mad God. So if people sometimes think we are being mad, they are not so off the mark, because many persons thought Lord Chaitanya had become mad. He came back and continued his school. But now in his school, he was explaining everything in terms of Krishna Bhakti. All the verbal roots, all the logic was leading up to Krishna, Stu Bhagavan Swayam, and that everyone was a servant of Krishna. And the students became confused. We came to learn grammar and logic. How is it that everything ends up at Krishna, Krishna? And in this way, they placed a complaint that he has changed, he has become different. And one such day is that he got so caught up in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness that he was chanting Gopi, 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 Gopi. And one of the students sort of challenged him. I don't understand how Gopi has to do with anything we've come to learn here. And he became upset and kind of chastised them and chased them out. So they went to report that now Nimai tried to harass one of us, and we are Brahmanas. He has really lost it. So he thought within himself that I want to impress upon them this importance of Krishna consciousness. But now, as their teacher, they're losing confidence in me, and actually they're becoming offensive. They're trying to gang up against me. So the Lord understood that socially, the sannyas ashram is very respected. So he understood if he took sannyas, then persons, whether they were for Vaishnav Siddhanta or not, naturally would offer respects to a sannyas. And in this way, they would be benefited. So we see here that the Lord also was considering how to spread this Krishna consciousness. He was thinking, what is the best way to do it? As a teacher in his own school, he had already upset his students. They were already antagonistic to him, although he was exhibiting the highest Krishna consciousness and actually explaining the truth of how everything is linked to that one source, Krishna. But it was unacceptable because he was meant to be teaching something other than. So he decided, no, I must take sannyas and preach. And Lord Chaitanya instructed also his followers. He says, Yare Deka Tarekaha Krishna Upadesh Amara Agyaya Guruhana Tara Edesh. That you learn the science of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and instruct everyone. You become a guru and try to deliver the people of your land. So this instruction stands till today and through the 10,000 years of this golden age. And since we're discussing how different devotees were branches of this tree of Lord Chaitanya, it is very sanguine to put out that Prabhupada has also written in the Chaitanya Charitamrita how ISKCON is one of those branches. And ISKCON is also mandated to find very relevant means to preach or teach Krishna consciousness to the entire world. These days, when we talk about preaching, then the modern person, even the modern devotee, feels a little uncomfortable preaching, even the word. I mean, it seems like we're just interested in pushing religion, and people would rather we want to share Krishna consciousness. But this preaching, or propaganda, sometimes Prabhupada uses the word, is going on in all the circles, whether atheistic circles, agnostic circles, financial circles, everyone is preaching. And those that are preaching, generally the materialistic gospels are more aggressive and more focused in their ambitions to get everyone on their side. In this world, there's two categories of persons, those who are divine and those who are demoniac. The Bhagavad Gita is describing divine and demoniac nature. It is stated that previously, in Satya Yuga, the demons and the demigods or the devotees were living on different planets. And in Treta, then they were living on the same planet. In Dwapara, they were living in the same village. In Kali Yuga, they are living within the same body. So instead of only thinking that there's demoniac persons out there, non-devotees, the devotee understands from Krishna also that within myself also is that demoniac and also the divine nature. And in that understanding, one can foster humility to always recognize where we also come from. We come into this ISKCON movement sometimes from very bad backgrounds. Yesterday, a devotee was sharing how the reason why he turned out so great, he wasn't joking, is that both his, well, the parents were butchers. And not just the father, but the mother was the butcher. And the father was a bare-knuckle fighter. You know, he used to fight in the streets. And I was considering my background, and you can also try to consider your background. And somehow or the other, when we come to this transcendental movement, there can be a feeling of being holier than thou. Some people come from Hindu backgrounds, and ISKCON is like the five star of Hindu religions. And then when we turn back and look and we see other Hindus, bad, 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 low class. We are following four eggs, 16 rounds. No onion, no garlic. What are you still up to? So in this way, when the attitude of gratitude and humility is lost because of the mercy somehow that brings us to such an elevated movement, when that attitude is there, then we cannot share nicely with others. Instead, we may exhibit an arrogance that turns them off. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya, one of his major teachings, and it's stated in the Shikshastakam, in the matter of chanting also the holy name, he said that we should take the shloka and wear it like a garland. No prices for giving the shloka. Anyone? Tunadapi sunichena taruapi sahishnuna amanina manadeina kirtaniya sadahari. To be able to constantly chant the holy name. This constantly chanting the holy name means being perfectly situated in one's Krishna consciousness. Currently, we are chanting many other things. The mind and thought is a vibration. And whatever has been deposited in that hard drive, through what the eyes bring in, the ears hear, what we eat, what we touch, is always vibrating in our minds. We are chanting. But generally, because of our attraction in the material nature, then we are chanting material subject matter. Therefore, the advice is to chant the holy name of Krishna. He said, Nama Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha Puna Shuddha Nitya Mukto Abhina Tvam Nama Namino. The name of Krishna is like Chintamani. This Chintamani, as children we used to see in the cartoons, some person has some sort of a stick like a wand, anything they touch turns into gold or whatever, sweets, chocolate, whatever they wanted. So this name of Krishna as Chintamani, when it enters the heart, then it transforms the heart. It is meant to do that. It is Nam Chintamani Krishna's Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. It is the form of all spiritual relationships, all the mellows of spiritual relationships that we are wanting to taste are contained in Krishna. In this verse, it's mentioned how all these devotees were great personalities and were always filled with love of Krishna. The end of the purport to 84 says about Jagannath Das, how he preached the Hare Krishna movement and spreading love of Godhead. So, the living being is looking for love. This love is as natural to us as is oxygen to the lungs. Although these days, people are willing to pay money to breathe in fire in the form of cigarettes, which is sadly a stupid thing, but is a result of all the preaching of the cigarette companies. All glories to them. This love is a natural need for the living being. Anyone, show of hands, who is against unconditional love? Show of hands, anyone who would love to experience unconditional love? And we can say how we are looking, who is looking for unconditional love? Who has seen unconditional love? Maybe in London there's unconditional love, I'm not sure. Who has seen unconditional love? Okay, please. Where have you seen?
It's right here. If you're a Brahma, created this temple. Out of unconditional love for the Supreme Lord.
Jai. Anyone else? Okay, that's the only situation. Yes, Ma?
I always used to watch my Guru Maharaj when he gives initiation. And I feel like that is just simple unconditional love for us. And I think this is the reason of any spiritual master who gives initiation. Obviously, we're not that great love for him. But he really trusts us and he gives his unconditional love to it. And
yes. So these answers are both correct, but they're all showing situations of spiritual circles. In the material world, everyone is looking for this unconditional love. The movies, they try to show it. Famous one is Romeo and Juliet. Very powerful story about love. And it remains powerfully so because both the hero and the heroine die. If at the end they showed us 2 months later, 2 years later, we will see maybe how Romeo is troubling Juliet, or Juliet is frustrated with Romeo. And then we see that the business deal didn't go as well as it was anticipated. So why are we looking for unconditional love if actually our experience in this world, we see that there's a lot of business going on in the name of love? So this is a hint that actually we have experience of unconditional love in our core identity, in our essential identity as spiritual beings. We have that experience, therefore we are looking for it. But we are looking for it in the wrong place. Common example is, water exists, but if you go looking for water in the Sahara Desert, then don't be surprised when you die of thirst, because that is not the place for water. This material world also, it proves to us that generally when we have a need for something, there must be something there existing that can fulfill that need. Like feeling thirst, there's water. There's food for fulfilling hunger. And some people will say that the need for God is just an artificial creation of people who need some sort of support from a higher being. But the very need for God, a supreme lover, a friend, also shows that that need can be fulfilled and there is God. So we are looking for unconditional love because we know it. We don't want to die, but we're seeing that everyone has to go through death. So why is it that we don't want to die? This also shows that we know deathlessness. We know immortality because as spirit souls, we are deathless. So the movement of Lord Chaitanya in sharing love of God, is not just only doing that in a sentimental way. It is also giving sound education for the living entity to understand why the living being has to loosen his grip or her grip on temporary things, and how the living being should note their eternal nature and aspire for those things that are eternal. Lord Chaitanya, for the common mass of people, his strategy was simple, same strategy Prabhupada adopted. For one whole year, Lord Chaitanya and his associates at the Shiva's Angam would gather together and have all night kirtan. Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Gornitai ki jai. In these kirtans, then they would go to the limits of tasting the happiness of chanting Krishna's name. So they did this day after day, week after week, month after month. And after a whole year, then they decided to take it out to the people. So this also is a lesson for us, that we should ourselves submerge ourselves in this process of chanting Krishna's holy name in congregation. That when we become purified and we get a taste for this holy name, then naturally it will be easy to share that with others. Instead of ourselves becoming the VIPs in the movement, I have become saved and therefore I am devotee, they are kamis, and anyway, they eat meat. How can they understand this movement? Interesting enough about this meat eating, I'll share. For many years, I would always be puzzled when I tried to explain Krishna consciousness to persons, because the philosophy is quite clear, many brilliant analogies, everything. You'd explain, you think people who are intelligent should understand and say yes. But many people wouldn't kind of get it. And but then it came to me that, as Krishna has said, Yesham Tantagatam Papam Jananam Punya Kamanam Te Dvanda Moani Mukta Bhajante Mam Jidavata. If one has not moved away from sinful life, acted piously in this life or previously, it is very difficult to become situated in bhakti and have that determination. So that sinful platform of meat eating, especially, acted like meat plugs in the ears, so people wouldn't really hear about Krishna consciousness. And I noticed that those persons were already vegetarians. It was very easy for them to grasp the philosophy. So the whole Western atmosphere is based on sinful activity from the get-go. So it is not necessarily the fault of everyone that they are situated in sinful life. They are just born into that situation. We ourselves come from that situation. So in getting this mercy, then we should remember our past and try to repay that debt by reaching out to people with that understanding spirit. Yesterday, I went to Matchless Gifts program. And I felt like it was, you know, 22nd Avenue, 22nd Avenue in New York. Because the type of people that were there, it was such a cosmopolitan group. And also people who, I mean, I was there. We all clearly needed the mercy. And here was a place that kind of was providing that. It was very enlivening to see that grassroots, you know, come as you are. One of the persons who was coming to attend the program was asking that, look, he really needs to have a cigarette, you know. Please, can he just smoke? No, wait, not in the van. until we get into London, maybe you try it there. When you got there, okay, you just take two puffs, and then we're going in. So he had his two puffs and put the thing off and came for the program. And I was feeling that this is the spirit. Srila Prabhupada is such an exalted Goloka man. Came and lived with the most degraded persons. But because of that genuine compassion, which comes from his love of God and his knowledge how the living being is eternally pure, he's just covered. He was able to show love and inspire so many persons whom now are worshipable to us in Krishna consciousness. So, as ISKCON, as devotees in the ISKCON movement, this is very important for us to always remember. Our parampara is a parampara of great compassion and outreach. There have never been persons who want to keep this movement indoors, just for us. Sometimes it happens like that, that because we've been saved from so much calamity, then we are very relieved to stay in the island of safety. But the mercy of the Lord really comes to those who try to reach out to others and bring them on board. Lord Chaitanya did it. The Goswamis of Vrindavan, they did it. They wrote so many literatures to explain the science of devotion. Jiva Goswami arranged that Shamananda and Lokanath Goswami, and they took the books to Bengal. So, to spread Krishna consciousness is to please Lord Chaitanya, because he is the tree of love of Godhead. He's also the gardener of this tree. He's also the fruit. And he has said that there are so many fruits I cannot possibly distribute on my own. And therefore, he's requesting everyone to assist in giving out these fruits of love of Godhead. And so here we're hearing about a list of so many Vaishnavas from so many places around India and how they established different temples to preach. Others, we hear of their spiritual identities as manjaris, as assistants of certain gopis. So we can see that actually the business of a bhakta, of a devotee, is to bring more people to Krishna. The devotee wants to see that others get some service, others become happy. So personally, I'm very honored to be here, sitting, speaking to you Vaishnavas here at a very famous temple, Bhaktivedanta Manor, which also was a gift from a soul that was touched by Srila Prabhupada's genuine love and compassion for all fallen souls, that he gave such a wonderful facility to continue to help Prabhupada to spread this movement. In terms of just the aesthetics of the temple, very wonderful. So much facility for the brahmacharis, the ladies, the congregation to make spiritual advancement leaps and bounds. So all glories to His Grace George Harrison Prabhu for giving such a wonderful facility, and all glories to all the devotees for maintaining it nicely and offering service. But more glory will come to the devotees who then, from such a beautiful place, go out. As the devotees today, they were announcing scores. Some devotees are traveling out there, distributing books. I went into the city with Parsharam, and there were some rickshaws taking prasadam to some universities. This is very enlivening. Students queuing up, you know. You look at them externally, everyone looks fancy enough, you know, to have a wallet full of so many pounds. But no, they are coming to take Krishna Prasadam. One man said that I'm going to write an exam, and I know when I eat this blessed food, my brain's going to open up and I'm going to remember all the answers. And I was thinking, he already has a clue that this is no ordinary food. He already understands that this food is charged with something blessed. So, yeah, Srila Prabhupada has arranged that within this material world, which is full of so much atheistic preaching, so much propaganda, so much bewildering circumstances, that the living being can get the association of devotees, and through that shelter of devotees, make gradual advancements to actually be freed to eternally serve Krishna in their original relationship with him. So, all glories to Srila Prabhupada for that. So that's as far as I will speak today. Grantaraj, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki. Srila Prabhupada ki. Is there any comment from any devotee?